Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is on my side, I will not fear.
I shall look in triumph on my foes.
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
I shall not die, but live, and recount the deeds of the Lord.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone the builders rejected has become our chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God. I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Friends, unfortunately, all the other microphones I could use were taken to our sunrise service this morning, so I will conduct the first part of the service from over here. But we begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We were buried with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father,
we too might walk in newness of life.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
The Lord has made this day one of rejoicing and gladness, because on it he destroyed death. But we must pause briefly in our rejoicing, because it was for our sins that he paid with his life. In the knowledge of what Christ has done for us, let us confess our sins to our gracious Lord, beginning with a moment of silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we confess that although we hear the gracious news of Jesus' resurrection, we have not responded with lives that reflect our journey to heaven. We are sinful from birth and have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have feared the forces of evil and not let the truth of Easter instruct our decisions. For Jesus' sake, forgive us. Let Easter's light dawn in us again and grant us strength both to walk in your ways and also to share the gospel words of Easter joy to the glory of your holy name.
How can we be more certain of the love of God than on this Easter morning, when our crucified and risen Lord announces, in the remembrance of your holy baptism, in the power of his resurrection, the forgiveness of all your sins? And so, by Christ's word and authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Let us pray this prayer together. Almighty God the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised to newness of life by your life.
The lessons from Holy Scripture are appointed for the festival worship of Easter Sunday. The first lesson is from Revelation chapter 19. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. St. John writes, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. And from the throne came a voice saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. St. Paul writes, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Due to the length of this morning's gospel lesson, we are going to ask that you remain seated. We now bring to you the glorious account of the resurrection of our Lord, the Easter gospel, according to the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint the body of Jesus. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The women came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, even though it was very large. The women went into the tomb. Entering the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So Mary Magdalene ran to tell the disciples. And it happened, as the other women were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. The women were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. But one of them, who was like a young man, clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. The angel continued, "Come and see the place where they laid him. Then go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid, but ran to bring his disciples word. Mary Magdalene then came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and also the handkerchief that had been around Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. You see, as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Peter was marveling to himself at what had happened. But Mary, who had returned to the tomb, stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene ran to tell the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. And as the other women were also returning to the city, behold, Jesus met them also. He greeted them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Then they returned and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. But their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and his saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, our risen Christ. The Apostle Paul writes concerning the resurrection of Christ, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. You are still in your sins. Let us then confess our faith in the triune God and in Christ Jesus, who has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." We speak together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God's grace, mercy, and peace be to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The account from St. Luke, which does not reveal to us, at least not yet, the actual presence of Jesus rising from the dead, ends with these words. The women returned and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest, but their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. You may be seated. Well, as you can see on the screen, my friends, seven words. We have spent our entire Lenten season, especially for those of you that have not been able to join us, all of our Wednesday night services focused on, this is not the seven times that Jesus spoke from the cross. This is trying to summarize the gospel in as few words as possible, trying to tell people what Jesus has done for you in some really short snippets. Now, we do this for a couple of reasons. Number one is that usually a few powerful words is sometimes all it takes to get the attention of people. But more to the point, it seems like we live in a day and age where people who are just convinced that, especially those that want nothing to do with Jesus Christ, are convinced they're right and will gladly talk to you for 3, 4, and 8 hours if necessary to try to convince you how wrong you are. But when it's your turn, you get about 30 seconds before they just walk away. Okay. So then in about, and there's no necessarily magic about seven words. It could be 5, 8, 10, 15. The idea behind it is that in just a few words, we get through. Just what it is that Jesus has given to us that we can get nowhere else, that we can get from nobody else, that provides to us something that we have to have, but we can do nothing to provide it. And when you think about it, seven words, it's not many, but just think of just what we can do with just seven words. For example, if you recall, think for a moment what the first seven words spoken, when especially you had to arrive a few minutes before worship, but you're going to hear it again a few times. The first seven words that were spoken this morning as you walked in: Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Seven words. Okay, well, we'll have to leave the alleluia off to the side for a moment. But that's what, in seven words, we have declared a truth that stands the test of time for over 2,000 years. If there would have been any successful attempt to disprove what had taken place, they've had more than long enough to try to prove it. But they couldn't. And even now, they can't. The words that the women came back and shared seemed to the disciples like idle tales. And at some point, Jesus must have had this thought of looking at them and said, really? All the times I told you and told you and told you the Son of Man is going to be crucified, but on the third day rise again from the dead. As they were coming down from the Mountain of Transfiguration, Jesus had said this to them, and it said that they're talking amongst themselves as to what rising from the dead might mean. It was like an idle tale to them. It's like, now wait a minute. Because they made assumptions about certain things. And the first assumption that they made was that this was going to be their king. Their king setting up an everlasting, what they thought, was an earthly kingdom. Even though Jesus, amongst his words to Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. But Pilate heard that. Apparently the disciples didn't. And one thing that king cannot do, one thing that must not happen to that king, he cannot die. But our king had to die. When we hear the gospel truth, my friends, there are no idle tales. Oh, it's, in some ways, is a hard thing to believe. I understand. If you were, even from a great distance, watching the events of Good Friday, and it talked about how the women stood at a distance watching what was going on, they knew. They saw. It was a horrifying thing to them. It left them feeling lost. It left them feeling so disheartened because we thought we were onto something great here. But did everybody, and I mean everybody, no matter how many or how few words Jesus used to speak, did everybody miss what was going to happen? Was there no one ready to celebrate? Was there no one that could understand what Jesus was really trying to say? You know, that teaches us something. In the Garden of Eden, mankind was given just one challenge directive. Do not eat of the fruit of that tree. And by the way, if you do, you will die. And we failed that test. And now here is another test of words. Can we grasp what rising from the dead might mean? And without the power of faith, without the understanding of what God places in our hearts through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, no. We are a bunch of babbling fools, stumbling around in the dark, trying to make sense of something that seems to make no sense. But then they saw it. They got to see him. They got to see and hear his words again. And he spoke almost as someone who, okay, I have nothing more to add, but I am going to remind you, this is what I have been telling you. This is what the gospel was all about. And now, as we gather together here at Easter, the directive is clear. And we don't necessarily have to go through the exercise of trying to come up with seven perfect words to describe the faith. But we spent the entire Lenten season going through a bunch of phrases, short little phrases, that were seven words long to help us to describe what our Savior did. Admittedly, it took quite a few of them before we started piecing together everything that our Savior was. St. John, at the end of his gospel, made it clear. There are many other things that are written about Jesus. I suppose if all of them were written, the world could not contain the books that should be written. And indeed, there are not enough words. We do not have adequate vocabulary in our own language to describe everything that Jesus has done for us. And hopefully, to describe in your hearts what a Savior who has done what had to be done, what that means to you. John, at one point, when he was writing the book of Revelation, which was where our first lesson came from, and we got a short glimpse today of what that book was going to be all about, and we'll be hearing from the book of Revelation throughout the Easter season now. It was clear that as John was trying to describe the glory of heaven, that he also just lost from the simple power of words to describe the amazing beauty of what is yet to come. And there's perhaps a lesson for us. My friends, What we are gathered together here for this morning, hopefully, is a fantastic celebration. By the time our worship started, we had already had a sunrise service out on the golf course in which the same words were being shared. The same message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ was being given to God's people. And shall we say, rather cool setting this morning, but still, we have learned that Jesus was able to clear the way for us, to take away all the debris of this world, all the debris that has cluttered up our own lives, all the debris that keeps us from seeing the joy of Easter, all of the messes of life that are making Easter anything but a celebration to some of us. Jesus has cleared that away. So that now all we see is something that at one point had our Savior on it, but no longer. Nothing could hold Jesus from doing what he was going to do for us. Not even a spear pierced into his side after he died. Not even as he was wrapped in the type of thing that they use for the proper burial, along with the mixture of myrrh and aloes. Not even a stone that was rolled up against the tomb. Nothing was going to stop Jesus rising from the dead. And there's your comfort. Because ultimately, I could have spent 10, 20, 30 minutes coming up with phrases of seven words describing what Jesus has done for you again this morning. But realistically, it just doesn't get better than the seven words that we have declared. The seven words that guide our day. The seven words that tell us that no matter what we've gone through in life, and no matter what we must yet face, eternal life is ours because Jesus won it for us. What we undid, Jesus has redone. What we could not do to approach him, he has come to approach us. What we have purposed to try to turn away from him, he has run onto the other side of us so that he is facing us once again and said, I'm still here. I'm your Savior. I have a plan for you. Yes, even for you and what has happened in your life. Friends, there are some people that were with us last year at Easter, but are with us no longer. There are some people that have gathered together here at Easters around the world that will not be with us if the Lord grants us another Easter next year. But for every one of those people, they now see, they now get it, what that Easter joy is really all about. Nothing will ever again get in their way. And that's waiting for all of us. And that's what the real joy of Easter is all about. That what Christ has done is something that he's going to give to us. And so, looking for seven words, it doesn't get better than this. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we'll add that eighth word, hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we will receive our offerings. If you have not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards for both our members and our guests, they're in the racks in front of you. Please do so. Friends, we want to remember in our prayers Hank Witt, who is going to be having surgery tomorrow afternoon, amidst all of the rest of our prayers. Please note the special prayer response that is up on the screen that we will be using for our prayers for this morning. So let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God and Father, we praise and glorify your name, for you have done great things for us. and we are glad. We thank you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, for his triumphant victory over death and the grave for each of us, and for the life that he now brings to light. We rejoice that by baptism we have been buried with him into his death and raised again to a new life and the sure hope of heaven. Risen Christ, abide with us, walking with us through our life and death, that every day may be a celebration of Easter. In the name of our risen Lord.
Hear our prayer and give us his life.
Help us to know the hope, O Lord, to which you have called us as your redeemed children. Comfort us with the forgiveness of our sins. Uplift us with Easter power and joy in all of our doubts and conflicts. And give us your Spirit so that we may daily remain steadfast and firm, always busy in the work of the Lord, in the name of our risen Lord.
Our prayer, and give us life.
Fill your church on earth, O Lord, with those precious words, few or many, of eternal life. Stir up your people to a living hope, filling them with your resurrection joy. Strengthen them for their task of being able to proclaim to the very ends of the earth and to also all of the people in our own lives the message of your cross and now empty grave. Provide people who will be able to continually feed us with the precious power of your word, with the grace and truth of the gospel in your holy sacraments, in the name of our risen Lord.
Hear our prayer and give us life.
Fill our homes with resurrection life and joy. May the light of Easter victory shine into every dark place in our lives, giving us abundant life in our risen Lord. May his victory give comfort to the lonely and forsaken, hope to the sick and sorrowing, strength to those who are facing death or who are grieving the death of one they have lost. May the song of Easter victory sound again among all who are fearful or uncertain, lifting them out of their doubt and defeat, leading them back to the glorious confidence and certainty of faith in him who is dead but is alive forevermore. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives who is in need of that precious word and comfort and strength that comes from you, that we now name in the privacy of our own hearts. May all your people flourish and be strengthened in the gospel of triumphant life in Christ as it is spread rapidly from our hearts into the lives of others, in the name of our risen Lord.
Hear our prayer and give us his life.
And as we now gather together for that precious body and blood that was given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, may we receive that which now comes as a part of our Easter joy, knowing that the power of Christ is with us wherever we go, and that his body and blood, given and shed, will indeed gather us together as one people, as we share in a special meal now, preparing ourselves for the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Be with us, O Lord, in all that we do. May his work and will be in us through all things, through Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Friends, our service concludes in the middle of page 9, the post-communion collect and benediction. Please stand as we pray together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have given us this gracious gift of life. Grant that, remembering our Savior's death and resurrection, we may be strengthened to live each day, trusting you joyfully and loving one another fervently through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Friends, immediately following our service here, we have a breakfast next door that's being served by our teens. We hope you can join us too. And on the assumption that that's where most of us is going, let's begin with a word of prayer as we bless the food that our Lord has given us. Precious Savior, on this day you have given us an everlasting victory. Whatever we do, wherever we go, whoever we share it with, it truly is a celebration of life as we gather together as your people. You remind us of the blessings of both body and soul that you give to us in such generous abundance, not just the food that you've given us for our use into your service, but also the dedication of those people who work to serve to us, and also make sure that all of the things that we can do today are truly going to be filled with Easter joy. Let that ring forth from our hearts, and let it go forth from our lives into the lives of others. Be with us at table, dear Lord, and wherever it is that we go, because this truly is a celebration of life and life eternal, thanks to you who has risen from the dead. In your name we pray, amen. All right, friends, one final time, Christ is risen.
He is risen.